Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and I want to welcome our listening audience to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, and trying to keep them with our trend of every other week. Our men's ministry, our women's ministry, men's, women's. So this week we're with our ladies. So good morning, ladies. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you. Well, before we went on the air, ladies, you opted to select a scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34. Is that correct? Okay. And one of you was so kind to volunteer to do the reading, so if you could do that at this time, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Sure. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put in on is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, not for more value than they. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Or you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Okay. That last line always cracks me up. I mean, right, we've listened to all these verses on, you got the sparrow and God takes care of you, don't worry, because tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. it's gonna keep coming, and that's sufficient. So, and I guess it's applicable. You wake up the next day and you don't worry that day either, right? But it's not like they're gonna go away. But every time I read this. This pericope, I'm drawn to that last line on tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. So what jumped out at you? Yeah. How did the reading, how's the scripture, how's the theme on addressing our anxieties and worry, how does that impact you?
We're being told not to worry about our necessities. Grow our faith and put God first. He will supply our needs. It makes me feel grateful for his love for me and his direction.
Can you expound on why that makes you grateful?
Because I can see and feel the love that he has for me. And to be loved that much, to be told not to worry about it, I got it. And then see that in my life take place in different aspects.
By chance, do you have a little example you could give us?
Not knowing where I was going to be, and he brought me someplace safe to get back up on my feet. I started a job and didn't have clothes for it and didn't have the money for them. And someone was kind enough to donate so I would have for my job.
Excellent. Yeah, those are pretty good. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Anybody else?
For me, it was kind of something that, you know, it's easier said than done. You know, you say don't worry, but in your daily life, it's, you know, something that you kind of can't help but do.
Yeah, and I think it's probably important. If you're a parent and you have, it is springtime, so you have a 16-year-old and it's prom night and you put the curfew out there, my guess is when your son or daughter isn't home by, let's say, midnight, those parents are probably going to, you know, pace and look out the front door and, peel back the curtain of the front window and look. I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. All right, that's genuine concern for the well-being of another. That's really whose lives has been entrusted to you. All right, so I don't think he's talking about that. Some of the things that he is referring to are really what we'd call basic needs. All right, so I liked your examples. Right, I mean we have a basic need for shelter. All right, we have a basic need for clothing. I'm sure your new employer didn't want you showing up naked. Right, you probably wouldn't have that job very long, right? But it's things like that, which is, you know, precisely what Neighbors of Hope really strives to help accomplish, because you do have all these other concerns, right, and stresses going on in your life. I think when we want to differentiate that, and it is difficult, right? And sometimes I think if we get overly worried and we practice that so often and it becomes so habitual, then we're worrying about every little thing. And then that's almost a thief, because it kind of steals your livelihood, your life, you know, type things. I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted you. Was there anything else you wanted to apologize for that? Anybody else?
I think some of the times that I worried the most, and still sometimes do, is always about the kids. You know, I worry about the kids here. I worry about my kids when I was a single mom. And I didn't know what would ever pull me through that. And yet, in God's perfect plan, He moved me as a single mom back into a neighborhood where my brother lived, where my grandmother lived, where my mom and dad lived. And I couldn't have planned that myself, you know. And so when I think about me as a single parent and see some of these women who come through that do or don't have kids with them at the time, I know not to worry, but it's a natural instinct. And so to surrender that to God every day is just such a beautiful thing. It really brings peace knowing that if I do that, I do trust the results. You know, I see the results. I see it here. I see growth in every one of these women. I think that you had mentioned something about you see growth through the worry. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we see growth through the worry here. So, yeah, and, you know, I think that sometimes you worry when you know someone is sick and they possibly could be dying. And it's someone you love and cherish and you don't want to go. And you have to let them go. That was another example of worry sometimes for me. And you know what? I have four nieces that are beautiful young adults that are capable and would make their mother proud, and she's not here to see it. But, you know, God has a plan for what those girls are doing with their own personal lives, and the same thing with my other four nieces, who it was hard for me to let that mom go, because how would they live without their mother, you know? And I don't get to worry about those things. I just get to see the beauty of what unfolds in that plan. So, pretty special if you really trust the guidance that's there for them.
Yeah, and there comes this point. I mean, what's important for us here, Jesus points out Solomon, and a couple things are happening. This is part of the Beatitudes, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus, if you read it in the old red letter edition, All right, I guess all three chapters. It's an 18-minute sermon, all right, given by him. And this is one of the teaching segments. And he's basically saying, as you, all of you, which gives us the idea that his listening audience is probably of a Jewish background, because he mentioned Solomon. All right? Now, Solomon was pretty well-renowned, all right, even by other religions and ethnicities and geographic locations, what have you. However, because of his stature, right? But it's almost as if Jesus is saying, look, at you know how Solomon, who was a hoarder of resources, right? You read your Bible. I mean, he takes your young men and makes them into an army, right? They become slaves to build chariots, to advance. Takes your daughters and they become housemaids. He taxes even his own people. In a sense, Solomon returns them to their state of bondage that they experienced in Egypt. So he says, as wise as Solomon was, he was a hoarder of resource. Don't be like that. So this is Jesus proclaiming a kind of a sage wisdom that supersedes Solomon. And so if you're trying to really strive and work hard to get the material resources that you need, you're going to abandon God. Therefore, trust God in all things, because humans, like the rest of the creation, are still part of God's creation and God's creator. So when we lose loved ones, right? Yeah, we need to acknowledge the pain and the sorrow that we are experiencing as part of our life experience, but also trust the fact that, well, they, like every other human, are children of God. All right, does anybody else have anything else that you would like to share? Yeah. It's tough. I mean, there are things that consume our mental faculties, you know, our thinking. We've perhaps you've been in the position, you know, where's my next meal coming from? Where do I get my next paycheck? How am I gonna feed my children? Those are legitimate. I don't think nowhere is Jesus trying to have us be so flippant to going, well, you know, God's got it. God will provide. They're both true. Right? But I think the message here, because of the reference to Solomon, is stop trying to do all of that on your own. All right? And realize God's going to look out for you. And nowhere does that eliminate our responsibilities, all right? I'm sure for your new job, you had to go apply. You had to fill out an application, go maybe for an interview, things like that. You know, if you need clothes, needs known equals needs met. If you never let people know what the need is, who's going to respond? I mean, we have certain responsibilities. You know, we don't have 15 years that I've been here. God has yet to show up at the front door and say, hey, you. I got a job for you down here. It doesn't work that way, right? So it's kind of like meeting God halfway, right? And trusting that even when some doors close, a window, another door, something else is going to open. Right?
As long as you do your part. I mean, he's there regardless, but he wants you to do your part and take your step or two.
It really... If God's creator, I've often said this, the reference to the birds. Birds do exactly what they are created to do. The mountain does what the mountain was created to do. The river does what it's created to do, right? Corn grows the way it was created. All of creation seems to be doing exactly what it's created to do, except the human being, right? We seem to be sometimes wanting to be our own creator, in the midst of the gift of creation, all right? We want to exploit the gift, all right, for our own means. And really, at the heart of what Jesus is trying to say here is like, you know, the Creator wants this relationship. So when Jesus offers, what we call the Lord's Prayer, heaven and earth, on earth as in heaven, it's it's an early representation of what happens with the resurrection. It's where the divine, right, and creation come together. And so with worry then can be a temptation to disconnect that relationship. And so he's really calling us back to going, yeah, you're going to have some concerns. Tomorrow's going to have enough worries of its own. These aren't going away. In the meantime, focus on staying connected, right, with the divine, right, so that that relationship is in proper union. Well, very good, ladies. Thank you for sharing with our listening audience in this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.